This podcast is brought to you with limited interruption by Rudy Luther Toyota. Whether looking for an exciting brand new Toyota, a certified pre-owned vehicle, or getting quality routine maintenance and service for your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is the place to go. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your insane Wednesday. Matt, Patrick here. Patrick, I've lived most of my life here in Minnesota. I have seen weird weather before. I've never seen anything like this. When I left here today, I recorded some of the interviews we're going to air over the holidays today. When I left here at 1:30, the temperature outside was 59 degrees on December 15th in Minneapolis, St. Paul. That is insanity. That is that temperature should never happen on December 15th. We're going to get rainstorms tonight. And as a matter of fact, we want people to be careful tonight because, yeah, it's looking like it could be a little rough out there weather-wise. There's a hazardous weather outlook. They're expecting a high wind warning as well. There's a decent chance of severe weather coming into the southern part of the state and heading towards the Twin Cities. There's a significant chance of a possible tornado. To give you how crazy that is, the latest reported tornado prior to this date is, I believe it was November 15th. That was a tornado that hit Minnesota in 1932 in Maple Plain. Okay? That was a month ago. And there's a chance. I mean, we're talking, I was looking at, if you didn't see Sven Sunkard's latest weather forecast, I posted it up on Twitter and Facebook. It is, this is like a spring, late spring storm. It's nasty stuff coming on through here. So my suggestion might be, you might want to take down the inflatable stuff. If you got like the inflatable Santa and stuff outside, it could be your neighbor's inflatable Santa by the time this thing moves through. It's going to move through quick. And we're expected mostly to get rain, but I have never, I can't even comprehend. We had a foot of snow on the ground a few days ago, Patrick. We had a foot of snow on the ground, and it's gone. Not even a week ago. I've never seen anything like this.
We do have now a tornado watch issued for the southern part of Minnesota. Looks like it includes Albert Lea, just south of Mankato, that part of the state.
Wow. An actual tornado watch. They said the last time we had a severe weather outlook that wasn't a snow. I mean, you can get snow and blizzards and stuff, but we're talking like severe weather, like thunderstorms and stuff like that. The last time we had one in December there was an incredibly slight risk in Minnesota on December 5th. I think it was 2001. Sven had it in his weather forecast. It was incredibly slight risk. And we actually have a tornado watch now. It's going to be nasty. It's going to be nasty. God, how much damage has the last 3 days of temperatures, including today, how much damage has this done to the snowmobile, skiing, ice fishing state? I don't know what it's going to take for Republicans to pull their heads out of their backsides with their ivermectin and basically say, geez, that doesn't seem normal. But I can tell you right now, the economic impact of just these 3 days worth of temperatures, the economic impact, because we're actually going in reverse now. You're melting ice. And now you're going to have to refreeze these lakes. You're going to have to refreeze all this stuff. You're what? 3 weeks, 4 weeks behind now? It's going to be 5 weeks. You're going to lose 5 weeks of winter. 5 weeks of winter for snowmobiling and skiing and ice fishing. You're going to lose 5 weeks. Don't tell me that's not an economic impact. Don't tell me that doesn't hurt. But as you guys sit there, I mean, and I just want to make sure you understand, snowmobile industry, ski industry, outdoor skating industry, snowshoe industry, ice fishing industry, you don't matter to Republicans because the big money comes from the gas and oil and the coal companies. And that is what's telling them to say, yo, climate change doesn't really happen.
So it's December 15th and it's really warm. What's the big problem, man? Put on a swimsuit and get a suntan. Come on. What's your problem?
So that's why you don't matter to the Republicans. They'll suck up to you when it comes time to do a photo op doing winter stuff. But when it comes to trying to save the winter in Minnesota and save your industry and save your economic bottom line, you don't matter to them. Oh, please. You don't matter to the Republicans. Not at all. Not at all. They could care less, and they will do nothing to help you. But then blame Democrats. Well, the Democrats should have done something. Yeah, that's them. 952-946-6205. A fantastic story here. I saw this courtesy of Michael Broadcorp, who's sitting there. In a recent campaign video by Minnesota Republican gubernatorial candidate Dr. Scott Jensen, who we affectionately call the witch doctor, because we don't know which doctor's going to show up. Is it going to be an actual doctor, or is it going to be the guy that says, you know, vaccines are evil? You need the horse dewormer from the vet. You know, it's one of those things. So in a, you know, we don't know which doctor shows up, but Dr. Scott Jensen, he used, he basically put this video out talking about Minnesota's marvelous, Jensen narrates. It's a natural beauty and rich history are like no other in the world. It clips purports to be from all over the state, from Rochester to the south of Ortonville to the state's western edge in Warroad, almost to the Canadian border. But the hockey-playing kids and sober-faced farmers aren't Minnesotans or even Americans. Much of Jensen's stock footage comes from countries including Russia, Ukraine, Thailand, and the UK. So are they like coconut trees? Here we are in Montevideo with palm trees. Yes. Dude, how did you do that? Seriously. Jensen videos opens with someone dipping their finger into a lake, ostensibly Atascosa State Park, only it's stock video from Shutterstock by the Spanish-based account and downloadable for anyone there for a nice price of $65 to $179. The international film tour continues from there. Jensen talks about our farmers showing a combine harvesting a field designated as Wilmer, Minnesota. The clip came from a Ukraine-based account, which is affiliated with the website. The UFly production Facebook page, which is linked to the Shutterstock account, confirmed in messages that the clip Jensen used was indeed near Lviv, Ukraine. As Jensen says, it's instant greatness found in the hearts of Minnesotans. An accompanying shot shows a nurse pushing a man in a wheelchair in Rochester. That footage actually came from Monkey Business's image of the UK Hospital 15 collection. During a clip of a mother and son working on homework, Jensen discusses parents and teachers but are making sacrifices to improve the lives of Minnesota kids, but the clip comes from a Thailand account. A mustache farmer appears in the same man who consistently shows up in a Russia-based account. Jensen claims that's in Ortonville, Minnesota. The clip of two young boys playing hockey labeled as the campaign as being warroad came from Russian Shutterstock. And the most impressive part of the Minnesota is its people, Jensen says, as a man clears snowy car. And according to the ad, the Minneapolis suburb of Edina, the clip actually was the U.S. account, does not have the state located on Shutterstock. Wow. That's pretty bad, man. That is according to, who is this account? Heartland Signals account. Of course, once again, shared by Michael Broadcorp. That is just too funny. That is just too funny. 952-946-6205. By the way, I should mention Stein joining us here in just a little bit. We'll have the Jeff Stein visit for your Wednesday. Let's start off with the story of Derek Chauvin. I've been meaning to get to this because this actually broke a few days ago, but it actually happened today. Derek Chauvin pleaded guilty to civil rights violations in two federal cases Wednesday morning in St. Paul, ending a bitter and winding legal chapter for the former Minneapolis police officer who killed George Floyd in May of 2020. It ignited a global uprising. Reversing his initial not guilty pleas, Chauvin told U.S. District Court Judge Paul Magnuson he abused his power as a police officer to deprive Floyd and a 14-year-old boy of their constitutional rights to be free from unreasonable force. So basically, it was the two cases. It was the George Floyd case and then the other case where he did the same exact thing.
In separate cases, several years apart, he pinned both of them with his knee. In court on Wednesday, Chauvin, 45, wore the orange prison garb and did not speak other than answering the judge's question. When prosecutors described his allegation, Chauvin replied, correct to each count. Asked how he pleaded, Chauvin said, at this time, guilty, Your Honor. Chauvin still awaits a sentencing on the federal felonies, which come on top of the 22.5 years in prison he's currently serving for the murder and manslaughter convictions in state court for Floyd's killing. The pleas mean he'll avoid two more lengthy trials. The government is recommending a 25-year sentence shorter than the life sentence he faced if found guilty at trial. He would serve the sentence concurrently with the state sentence and in federal prison under the recommendations of the plea agreement. Bob Bennett, attorney for the juvenile victim, who is now 18, called it a good plea and said his client is happy to see the ordeal is finished. He's happy that Chauvin pled guilty and has agreed to a sentence that any way you slice it, you get more than the state's sentence, said Bennett. It's important because it shows long-term serial violations of the constitutional rights of people that Chauvin engaged in. Bennett said that some of the responsibility for Floyd's death falls on Minneapolis Police Chief Arredondo, for failing to take Chauvin off the streets after the assault of Bennett's client in 2017, which was eerily similar to what happened to Floyd. It was. At the time of the assault, Arredondo just had taken the acting chief role under a promise of rebuilding the damaged department after a Minneapolis police officer killed Justine DeMond. How'd that go there, Arredondo? Oh, ye go. Oh, wow. A charred, empty, burnt husk, you say. Well, good going there, Johnny Blaze. Bennett and his client both attended the plea hearing along with members of Floyd's family. It's a good day for justice, Floyd's brother said to Bennett and his client after the hearing. Chauvin's ex-wife and other family members were also present. With his plea, Chauvin waives his right to appeal the conviction other than on narrow factors related to jurisdiction. This is the end of it, said Magnuson in court. Meanwhile, three of Chauvin's former colleagues are still headed for back-to-back federal and state trials on track to begin early next year on charges they aided and abetted Chauvin in fatally restraining Floyd. Attorneys for Kuing, Lane, and Tao have all raised concerns that going to trial alongside Chauvin would have tainted the jury pool and prevented a fair trial. In removing himself from the equation on Wednesday, Chauvin is effectively granting their wish. Well, but still, you got to have the fact that the guy had pled guilty to it and— You know, good luck trying to, yeah, the worms are out of the can at that point. After the past 18 months, Chauvin's criminal proceedings have become a test for criminal justice system's ability to hold law enforcement accountable for brutality against citizens. His case has drawn the ire of people across the planet who believe Americans' policing suffers from the fundamental and lethal corruption. It sure does. It absolutely does. By the way, speaking of that chief, Arredondo, I should mention in a different story here, this is from The Racket. As Minneapolis Police Department Chief Arredondo prepares to leave his department in historically bad shape. This is reading from The Racket. Historically bad shape, after almost certainly breaking ethical rules to defend its existence, the head-scratchingly celebrated cop appears to be eyeing the future, specifically the lucrative private speaking circuit that'll certainly exalt him as some savior in common sense police reform. We got a sneak peek of that pocket lining existence might look like when Lesueur-based Cambria, a company that's supported far-right Republicans in the past, thanked Arredondo for hashing out important issues facing our community with the luxury quartz surface company's executives. In reaction to Cambria's tweet, multiple Twin Cities journalists noted that, in their experience, getting FaceTime with the chief has proven extremely difficult. But we're not suggesting Arredondo, who's still acting chief, got paid for this engagement, but the optics certainly suggest plans to cash out here while Minnesotan continues to reel. I would say this. I've talked to people who are journalists. Arredondo is incredibly difficult for a journalist to get time with. But if you're the executive of a countertop company that's nowhere from the Minneapolis jurisdiction, I should mention – Arredondo is still the chief of police. Oh, he's got plenty of time for you. Plenty of time. Did you pose with any of the countertops? Did you? Wow. It should be mentioned that Arredondo was the police chief when the Stallings incident happened, where police officers in an unmarked vehicle did not identify themselves and randomly opened fire on innocent Minneapolis citizens. And when the citizen shot back, justifiably, because he thought he was being attacked by white supremacists, funny story, he thought he was being attacked by white supremacists. The police then stormed out of the vehicle. He immediately dropped his weapon when they identified themselves as police. They beat him in the streets because, you know, police brutality. And then still took him to court and tried to prosecute him and tried to do a buddy deal. Say, hey, you better plead guilty now and we'll only give you 8 years. Well, they found him not guilty and the body cam footage was released. And Arredondo knew all of that had taken place and had yet not once reprimanded a single police officer for any of it. He sucks. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. It gets worse more when we do return. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Just FYI, we're trying to get the live stream up and running right now. So if you like to watch the show, it's radio for your eyes. We have that up on the Facebook page for AM 950 Radio, as well as the Matt McNeil Show Progressive Citizen X. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Now, I want to remind everybody that even though that this – and once again, I'm not questioning why people voted against question two on the election to replace the police department with something, because the people that put that ballot initiative on there did not really have a concrete or visible plan in place. So, I mean, it's understandable why they didn't. But it goes back to the one thing that I've said, which is you still have the problem of the police union and a police chief who, you know, even when he had outrageous behavior by his police officers, never once held them accountable. And I said, I've been saying, you guys have got to figure out some way that you're going to be able to fix this, because that the fact that you can't hold police officers accountable and have transparency within this police department is a huge problem, and it's the police union there. And the only way a lot of people have said you're going to get rid of that police union is to basically null and void the current contract and start from scratch. So it doesn't mean that there isn't going to be another ballot initiative at some point. I guarantee it. As a matter of fact, I talked to Jack Rice not that long ago, and he said, yeah, no, he absolutely believes that there's going to be another ballot initiative at some point. But until that point, you know, the police says, hey, we're willing to work with the community. We're going to fix our problems. Ha, ha, ha. Case in point. A judge has ruled the Minneapolis Police Union can intervene in a lawsuit intended to get the Minneapolis Police Department to release records on police officers who are coached for misconduct. In September, the Police Officers Federation of Minneapolis filed a motion to intervene in the case to protect its members' interests, a.k.a. they don't want you to see which officers are problem officers and which officers are getting incredibly minuscule punishments for absolutely atrocious behavior. Although the city currently opposes the release of non-public data, without the Federation's intervention, there is nothing to prevent the city from changing course, the union's attorney wrote in the court filing. In June, the ACLU sued the city on behalf of a government transparency group called Minnesota Coalition of Government Information after the city denied its request for coaching information. Hennepin County District Judge Karen Janschisch ruled December 1st the union can join the suit. The suit alleges the Minneapolis Police Department intentionally refers police officers accused of serious violations to coaching, which involves training or meeting with a superior to keep the records private. Under Minnesota law, records of complaints against police officers are only public if the cases result in discipline. The city contends coaching is not discipline, so the records don't have to be released. You see, you can murder a black guy and the boss will have a talk with you. You know, coaching. Coaching. You know, that sort of thing. I know. Isn't it great? It's like there is zero accountability for these crap officers in Minneapolis. Zero accountability for crap policing. And if they do something so heinous that even they can't protect them, they'll keep it quiet for a year and let those officers quit or retire and say, what are we supposed to do? Exactly. You still got a huge freaking problem, Minneapolis. Wow. The city says coaching is only used for minor violations like speeding, but records show coaching has been used for allegations including excessive force, failure to provide protection, discrimination, and police retaliation and harassment. Okay, so maybe not murdering people, but still, it's not, you know, when you're excessive force. Yeah. And was that what you guys did to Stallings? Is that how you get around it? Is, oh, we'll just describe him beating him in the street as excessive force or shooting him unpronounced as excessive force? The ACLU has said more than 70% of complaints against officers that result in discipline are referred to coaching. And since the city and union contend coaching isn't discipline, employees aren't allowed to review coaching decisions. The city is trying to get the judge to throw out the case and fighting the ACLU's attempts to get coaching data through the discovery process. The ACLU objected to the police union intervening in the lawsuit, saying it didn't have an interest in the matter unless the court found coaching is discipline. The Federation's motion begs the question, why would it object to disclosure of data involving petty transgressions? The ACLU wrote in the court documents, the Federation has, because that's what their argument is, right? These are petty transactions, speeding. Oh, they jaywalked, stuff like that. So why would you be upset about that if they're minor? Oh, that's right, because your own defense is getting blown apart by the fact that you're so desperate to keep this hidden that you don't want people to find out what you have been hiding behind those doors. The Federation's motion begs the question, why would it be object to disclosure of data involving petty transgressions? The ACLU wrote in the court documents, the Federation has perhaps unwittingly buttressed plaintiff's central argument that coaching is not just reserved for minor and lower level infractions, but is used to conceal much more serious misconduct that defendants and the Federal Federation both hope never come to the attention of the public. Aha! I would bet. The union contended in a September 21st filing that it doesn't participate. The city may wield this suit in both a shield and sword to inhibit the federal's ability to challenge any settlement or ruling of the court. What are you guys upset about? Dude, you guys have zero accountability anyway. You're basically screwing over the taxpayers of Minneapolis-St. Paul with settlement after settlement after settlement after settlement. So, yeah, what are you guys about? Oh, you just don't want your bad feelings hurt? Oh, boo-hoo, boo-boo kitties. Oh, no, not that boo-boo kitty. You're kidding. There, people might think the guy who has excessive force issues and anger issues who constantly beats citizens of Minneapolis might be a bad guy. Oh, no, not that. In her order, Janice wrote that the union has an interest in whether the coaching information is released and what kind of measures might be taken to protect the identity of the employers. It's not the legal system backing up the bad behavior again, is it? The ACL disagrees, saying that recent brief that has likely been likely to be litigated. In other words, the data would go through the same lengthy process that drags out Minneapolis Police Department disciplinary actions. Over the past decade, it took MPD an average of 539 days to resolve complaints. Hey, you got 539 days to retire or resign. Your call, but then you're out the door and they can't touch you. Oh, well, the taxpayers will pay for your bad behavior, but no one else. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Yee. City of Minneapolis, you still got a huge freaking problem. And don't think transparency is going to come easy at all. These guys are trying to hide everything. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. Jeff Stein when we do return. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein's our national and presidential expert, noted author. Find his books, Fantastic Christmas Gifts. You can find him over at Next Chapter Books as well as TotallyIowa.com. The Iowa Business Report is his daily show down there, as well as also the Iowa Politics Report, which comes to us from KXEL in Cedar Falls, Waterloo. Hi, Jeff.
Matthew, good afternoon. How are we today?
It's like a Little Rock Christmas up here. Dear God, it's 60 degrees in Minneapolis.
And the wind will probably be about 60 miles an hour before long if you just wait.
What's the temperature down in Waterloo right now?
Do you know?
71.
Jeez.
It was 72. Now, I learned something today.
Yes.
That apparently your state of Minnesota, you have never had a reported tornado in the month of December.
Nope.
In recorded history.
Nope.
And right now, in my state of Iowa, okay, 72, that is the all-time high for December. We broke the record for this date at 2:30 this morning. And right now, we have a quarter of the state with a severe thunderstorm warning and I think seven tornado warnings stretching from Nebraska into Iowa. So it's on its way toward you. Don't say we never gave you anything.
Happy holidays. There it is.
But what I love is that people are tweeting at the National Weather Service account and trying to get, like, customized weather forecasts because the folks at the Weather Service have nothing better to do. But somebody tweeted at them and said, any chance these storms lose strength after sunset? And the Weather Service simply replied, nope.
You know,
that's a technical meteorological term. Nope.
I just can't wait to see the Christmas Yoda flying down the street in my neighborhood. It's going to be one of those nights, isn't it?
Sadly, it is. It is. Yeah.
You and I, let's just chat. You and I have talked about how. I've got a stocking full of gifts right now. You and I had talked that the way that this is going to come back and bite Trump is if there is a member of his inner circle that either rolls or basically blabs or screws up. And I'd like to introduce Mr. Mark Meadows, his former chief of staff, who apparently turned over copious amounts of evidence before he decided he wasn't going to sit and help them, including text messages that he's had with members of Congress who seem to have an idea of what was coming down the line. Also on top of it, we've now got, you know, clearly a lot of people that, whether they were for the uprising or against the uprising, were frantically trying to get Meadows to tell Trump to stop, including many Fox News personalities who have downplayed that there was anything going on at all. They themselves, Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, as well as Donald Trump Jr., were all frantically trying to tell Meadows to get Trump to stop what's going on. We are now starting to get into bombshell and possible criminal charges now.
Well, the fact that you have TV talking heads who have the text line of the phone number of the chief of staff
yes.
and say, this is not looking good. I'm not sure that's a big stunner because everybody knew that. Everybody knew it except the president. And it was only when his daughter said to him, Dad, put down the cheeseburger, because as you recall, he was watching this on TV while having lunch.
Laughing, right? And enjoying and basically very happy with how things were going.
And finally, Ivanka said, Pops, Daddy, Dadsky, we need to do something about this. And that's when he said, you're beautiful people, go home or something.
I love you. I love you.
I knew I'd get a McNeil Trump impression. So
I love you. Like a drunk in a bar in Germany at 2 a.m. I love you. You're everything to me. Go home.
You know wherever you speak, apparently, on that one. But
I do.
I we all knew that you did, so it's a good reference. But, Meadows was cooperating, and then he said, well, this is the line. And then, of course, they've done what they've done. Now, this is something, and you and I talked about this last week, because it broke as we were talking that Meadows was going to sue Congress. And basically, what is not clearly defined, because we've never had a situation like this, what is not clearly defined is, what does executive privilege mean and who can invoke it? So, for example, in a related but separate investigation about handling of COVID, there is a subcommittee that James Clyburn heads. They're trying to subpoena Peter Navarro. And Navarro says Trump told him to resist because he, Trump, is invoking executive privilege. And the position of Bannon and Meadows and Navarro is, They can't waive executive privilege. It's the president's executive privilege. Okay, set that over here. You have the current president who says, it's waived. I'm the current guy, and I have waived it. Well, whose privilege is it, and when can it be waived? That's a really good legal argument.
Well, actually, I'm going to say a legal argument that's been laughed out of court already, because twice now we've had judges say, in an appeals court, a judge in an appeals court now say, no, if you're a former president and there's potential crimes, you can't invoke executive privilege. And it's pretty clear, and you and I have talked about this, the Supreme Court's not going to back that up either. So regardless of what these guys are trying to blather, they're not going to be able to – it's their only option is going to be to plead the Fifth and just hope no one rolls on them.
Well, and then this is the other part that is more interesting about separation of powers. Congress operates within itself. So for example, normally – if I'm a litigant in a case and I want to impose a subpoena on Matt McNeil or a subpoena ducis tecum, which is for documents, and Matt McNeil wants to challenge it, Matt McNeil goes to court and a judge says, okay, with regard to this investigation, with regard to whatever it is we're doing within the judicial branch, the subpoena is either halted or it is ordered to remain
enforced.
In effect, whatever. Okay, but within Congress, those judicial orders don't hold. So even if Meadows would sue and get a judge to say, I am putting the subpoena on ice, it's not a subpoena from the judicial branch. It's a subpoena from Congress, which once again acts unto itself. So, for example, when they vote to hold someone in contempt, that's all they can do. It has to then be referred to the Justice Department for prosecution. So because of the separation of powers, even if you've got a judge who says, I am putting this subpoena on ice until I determine the issue, Congress does not have to follow that. And it shows you just how poisoned this whole situation is, that normally if this were, say, 10 years ago, and a situation came up about a former president, any former president, and the issue of executive privilege, Congress, very likely, the committee would have said, well, we'll wait until the courts settle this. They're not doing that now, which tells you an awful lot either about what they believe happened and what they think they'll find, or just the toxic nature of politics these days, and I believe either one at this point.
Well, okay, two things. One, yeah, a lot of these Republicans are trying to do Dick Cheney-esque, am I a member of the executive branch or am I a member of the legislative branch? It's not really clear. No, you're a member of the executive branch. You're the vice president. And so he's trying to play stupid and act like, well,
you got a whole bag full of impressions
thank
today.
You. Yes, exactly.
Do you take requests?
Let me know. One comes up, I'll be happy to try. But they're trying to do this. The other thing is they clearly have evidence. This is not about what they might prospectively get. It's right. Easy to start to say, oh, it's a poison toxic thing. Regardless of what you want to, there are Republicans on that committee who basically are going along with this. And sure. The fact that they came out with these Mark Meadow texts and already Marjorie Taylor Greene and I think it's Jim Jordan of Ohio have already confirmed. Oh, yeah, we did. I love Jim Jordan. Oh, yeah, sure. I sent over a document about how they could overthrow the government, but that was from a third person. I was just being, you know, usurping the government curious, you know, and it's like,
I was just being helpful. I was just the conduit for information.
I wasn't for overthrowing the government. I was just like, hey, well, here's something I heard those guys talking about. And, you know, and the reality is this is there is hard evidence now. And this is the problem. This is not. You want to downplay it as just politics. Well, that's hackery, because the reality is there's evidence now that Mark Meadows was coordinating. And at the very least, you can say is that Meadows was being hounded to stop, and it took hours for Trump to go with it. So the question now comes down to this. Will Meadows try to fall on the spear himself and try, because he's in it. I mean, Meadows ain't going to get out of this at this point. But he might basically, and this might go back to the reason why he was desperately trying to undo what he had done, is he might basically be the sacrificial lamb and try to sit there and say, yeah, I did this all myself. Because right now, that's about Trump's only option of getting out of this at this point.
Meadows is not going to take the fall for Trump.
No, he's not. I agree with you.
Okay, so now, somebody like Bannon,
somebody
like Navarro, they
yes.
would.
Yes.
Okay, so I make that distinction because I don't think Meadows would take the fall for Trump. The reason why I said, you know, the toxicity is that there used to be a little more courtesy to a former member to let it play out in the judicial operation. Well, obviously they're not. And here's the thing. If they've got the goods that they have suggested they have, is there much good to be done by subpoenaing some of these hostile witnesses? Hostile witness is a legal term of art. People who don't want to be there to testify is what it means. Do they have enough that they can make the case without them? Because if you bring Roger Stone in, as they want to do, and he's simply going to say, I'm taking the Fifth Amendment, what have you really accomplished? There's some good show of seeing him take the Fifth Amendment. I'll grant you that. But it's kind of like just whatever you have, lay it out there. And that's why all of these people, these high-profile national radio and TV hosts who are honking about the invasion of privacy, of having their private texts read out loud, well, they don't like that it's Liz Cheney that's doing it. Well, tough beans. The second thing is you have just sent a text to a governmental official. That is a public document.
Yes.
You cannot say, well, these were my private texts. You're doing it with a public official. Do you not understand that even if they're using their personal phone, first, they're not supposed to. Second, it's quite clearly when the topic is, I believe the riot is getting out of hand, would you please have your boss, the president, do something? That's no longer private. So I'm not sure what planet some of these people are living on to think that a text or an email that they send to someone who gets a paycheck from the U.S. government might not be discovered. I have heard Mr. Hannity honk about, is there no privacy left in this country? Not when you're sending a text.
It's sent it to the chief of staff of the White House. No.
That's my point. Okay. Now, has there been overreach potentially? Potentially. Because there always is, all right, on such things. That's often why, though, Matt, in a different situation, they would have it go before a judge who would review it. The legal term is in camera. The judge reviews it and says, okay, no, this really does have to do with, you know, Buffy's wedding, and this really doesn't have to do with government. But the rest of it here, I'm releasing it. Normally, again, pre-toxic time, pre-Trump time, a congressional committee might have reviewed this stuff and only released what was germane. There's no trust now on either side, and so therefore you have the potential. But again, if you become a government official in the state of Minnesota, I'll vote for you on that one. Yeah. I'm not going to give money, but I'll vote for you. I can't, but play along. If I send you a text, I have to understand the world has the right to see it because it's Governor yes. Matt McNeil I'm sending. If governor's high enough for you, it's Governor Matt McNeil that I'm sending the text to. It's no different than you have an email address there at the radio station. Sometimes you will send me an email from your radio station address, and sometimes you're using your private account because of the fact that that's what's up. And sometimes you send it to me at my private account. My sense is private to private, whatever. But if you're emailing me from the station account, the station owns that account, and therefore I have to assume, and you have to assume, that they can read anything that's sent. Mm-hmm. I don't understand where, again, some of these people just fell off the truck and said, oh, I had no idea that this might be discoverable material.
If, one thing I'll clarify, one of the things you said, if yes. there is overreach. And the reality is I don't think there's overreach right now. I think that there's buckets of information. And going back to a few things.
All I mean by let me be real clear. All I mean by overreach is if there's 1,000 texts and you get all 1,000, 950 might be germane and government related. The others aren't. That's the overreach. In other words, yes, they might receive more.
Okay.
But again, you're sending it to a government official. It's not overreach in terms of inappropriate. It's just a fact of when you ask for everything, you're going to get everything. That's all.
Going back to your comment about using a private phone, I think Hillary Clinton would love to talk to you about that. The fifth, you talked about.
She's talked to me once in her life, and it's never going to happen again. Well, I just guarantee you.
I believe that there's a problem with her. Her email, something about that? Oh, okay. Yeah, that's okay.
I'm not familiar at all.
Fifth, pleading the fifth. You're right. They could plead the fifth, and every one of them could. Doesn't mean you don't do it, and that's their only option. Because if they go in there and they say anything under oath to Congress, and basically you're found to be lying under oath to Congress, that's got some teeth. And as far as going back to Meadows, and you say if it was Bannon or Navarro, here's Trump is that okay? Say it was Steve Bannon, who was not part of government at that point. If that was the case, then who told Meadows to Bannon had official rule over everything? And then it goes back to Trump saying he – because clearly that's the only person that could have done that. I don't think Ivanka is going to put Steve Bannon in a line of power here right below Trump. So there's the problem there. So it's going to be interesting to see if Meadows –
Well, you came upon – that was – now there's something you just said there that I want to pull apart very briefly. If Bannon is claiming executive privilege – based on who? Who is he talking to? Because if he's talking to Trump, and that's the executive privilege because it is the president, okay, that's one thing. But if it's private citizen Steve Bannon, who is contacting any manner of people, any number of people, not with a .gov email address, he has no executive privilege. There's no executive involved. There's no executive branch involved. And so it's a thin argument that they're making. It's either that the executive branch is in it up to their ears, and that's why you use executive privilege, or they're not in it up to their ears, in which case there's no privilege. You cannot have that both ways. And
exactly.
You just pointed that out.
Well, and that's where they're going. And it's going to come back. It's going to be interesting to see how these guys play it out if once the courts basically say, no, there's no executive privilege here. You got to come clean, because then it's going to be fifth. That's going to be the chance. Let's take a break. Come on back. I got to get into Fox News a little bit here because, that's ugly as well. Jeff Stein joining us, 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein joining us. Jeff, I'm going to just bring this point up. I have four people bringing up Hillary's emails. So if they're going to try to say, well, that was my private phone. Oh, just wait for that rake to whack you in the face. Here are the January 6th committee members have asked for the phone and social media records of the 11 members of Congress, including Biggs, Gosar, Boebert, Brooks, Cawthorn, Getz, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Gohmert, Jody Heiss, Representative Jody Heiss of Georgia, I believe it is, Jim Jordan, and Scott Perry of Pennsylvania, the usual suspects in this case. Yeah, it's my guess was going to be is the reason why they're honing in on them is not some deep investigative secret. It's like, we got all your text messages you sent to Mark Meadows, so we need to talk with you about that. Quickly on Fox News, do you think Chris Wallace left because this broke before? I mean, he found out beforehand that the members the members of that network had knowingly tried to stop Trump from overthrowing the government, but then came back on and downplayed that insurrection, that the dishonesty was enough for him to say, I'm done with this network?
No, I think the straw that broke the camel's back was the Tucker Carlson, whatever, pay-per-view, Fox Nation streaming service, series of reports on it. They made a big deal about these supposed bombshells in all of this. I don't have the service. I don't know anything about the reports, but it led to Fox News commentators, Jonah Goldberg and Stephen F. Hayes, they left. Wallace's contract was up, and so he's now going to do a daily thing on CNN Plus. So what's the better deal at this point? Hang on to Fox, where the highest-rated program, the highest-rated host, gets a brand-new deal with all of this streaming options and everything, and his new website where you can buy a Christmas ornament, I mean, all this dumb stuff. Or is it better to say, you know what? My reputation has not been tainted yet. So I'm not quibbling as to why he left. It's the what precipitated it. And I think what precipitated it is not necessarily this revelation of text, because this has been in the work for some time. I think it's the general, let's build the network around Tucker Carlson and his theories. I think that's why Chris Wallace left, frankly.
Is the ornament on fire? Never mind. Wow. So who's left on Fox News as their moderate?
Well, they don't have one.
Not anymore.
Brett Baer is a pretty straightforward sort. I mean, he gets a lot of criticism from the right. I don't have a huge issue with Brett Baer. But again, with your reaction, right? I mean, it's a relative thing, right? Moderate is a relative thing. What's interesting is I look over at MSNBC, and there's room for you now, right? I mean, Rachel Maddow's going to be gone. Brian Williams is gone. I don't know why you're not there at 8 o'clock Central Time weeknight.
It's TV. Have you seen my face? All right, Jeff.
I have. Yes, I have.
We will talk. The next time you and I will talk will be on December 30th. We're going to do a live show on the 30th. Until that time, happy holidays, my friend.
Yes, sir.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show, 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. I am amazed looking at this storm coming our way. I've seen bigger storms. I've seen heavier rain showers. We just had a band of showers that came through the metro. They're kind of moving on out. But there is a line of storms right now that is heading north. It's kind of heading towards the north and east. It's right now just in about the western third of Iowa, and that's what's eventually going to start heading our way. It's a spring storm. This is a storm we get in May. This is not a storm we get in December. And yeah, it's going to come through, and it's going to come through, you know, fast and hard, and it's going to be nasty. And yeah, I'm quite a bit concerned about what's going to happen with this storm. We got to be careful too. I mean, it's one of the things that you're a little worried about. It's going to be cold on the backside of this storm. So if it's like raining and then immediately freezes, it could be a mess tomorrow. So just keep that in mind as you're heading on out. It could be very slippery around the metro, depending on that situation. It sounds like mostly for the most part, it's going to be mainly rain. But if it gets really cold real fast afterwards with these winds, that's kind of what it's pointing towards. Yeah, nasty. Yeah. There's a decent chance we're going to have a tornado in Minnesota in December. There has never been a tornado in meteorological winter in Minnesota ever. December, January, February, never. Not once. And here we are. Wow. Be careful. Just like I said, if you're heading out tonight, know what you're heading into. And if it gets really windy, don't be surprised if you have a few issues with that. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. By the way, programming here brought to you by Todd Colad, whose, of course, band is Just Folk. They've released, so this is their last single, Everywhere You Look, featuring Jesse King. I'll put the link up for that a little bit later on social media. Go and enjoy that. Todd, of course, lives in Spain. He used to live here, but he lives over in Spain, can't visit our clients. So needless to say, he can basically sponsor the station. If you'd like to find out how you could do so as well, 952-946-8885. 952-946-8885 is the phone number. Patrick, we've been covering the story of the Instacart driver up in, this is in Blaine, I believe it was. And they finally have, they're not going to file charges. She was cited. Now, I'll get to this in a second here, because the question I had with the charges in this case were, how much of a damage to property is it to run over a bag of groceries? And that's kind of what I was thinking. But that's apparently not what the police were thinking of when they did this. A 36-year-old Instacart driver has been cited after police say she ran over the customer's order and left a blank the police note on a receipt. Tara Olivia Plum of Coon Rapids was cited for criminal damage to property. Blaine Police Captain Mark Borboom said in a news release on, Wednesday, December 15th. The incident happened on December 6th. An elderly couple placed an Instacart order that morning for a few bags of groceries when the driver was driving over them. And apparently it seems like what they've come down to is that they had a they support the police sign in their front yard, and that triggered this Instacart person to, you know, run over the groceries and leave the note. Police say this incident cannot be charged as a – okay, are you ready for this? Can't be charged as a hate crime because the crime wasn't based committed on the basis of the victim's perceived race, color, religion, sex, sexual orientation, disability, age, or national origin. In this incident specifically, the offender committed the act because the victim supports the police and none of the previous mentioned protected classes were a factor in the offender's decision to commit the crime. I already can see what's coming down. You're going to have Republicans screaming like, we need to protect people and make it a hate crime if someone is upset with a police sign. I can already see that. No, it's – I'm shocked that this is what they were trying to figure out, because this is clearly it's just this person was being a dinkus. It was you just have to equate this. OK, was there race involved? No. Color involved? No. Religion involved? Sexual orientation, disability, age. And the fact that it took them a few days, they were really trying to find some way to charge a hate crime here. My perception was, OK, It's a damage to property issue, right? You put the groceries down. I mean, I don't know what the deal is on that. Like $50 worth of damage to property, is that can you charge a criminal charge with that? I guess you can't. So they were frantically trying to find a way to charge this as a hate crime. Don't feel too sorry for the family. They basically their $50 in groceries have been replaced with $12,000 worth of GoFundMe money. So they're going to be just fine. It's you cannot like the police. That is your right. You don't, as much as Republicans insist that you can't, you can dislike the police. That's your right to do so. But you shouldn't be a dinkus like this just because someone does. In the same sense is that if you listen, and I said this the other day, if you listen to the story and you say, I don't know what the big deal is. Well, would you be upset if someone was – this was the reaction when someone said it had Black Lives Matter sign? Of course you would not probably be okay with that. You know, just don't be a jerk. How about that? And I personally think the better solution would have been make her pay for the replacement groceries, make them take them to the front door, and whatever verbal tongue lashing she gets, that's what she gets for being such a jerk. But – no, they're cited her. They're, I'm sure they'll probably get the maximum on the ticket or whatever it is. But it's not a hate crime to basically it's to do what she did was wrong, but it's not a hate crime. It's it's just someone being a belligerent idiot. I guarantee you, though, Patrick, you can already see this coming down the line. Republicans, if you criticize the police officer, that's a hate crime. I can already see it.
I thought some states had already started making overtures after the George Floyd murder and subsequent events, that some states had started trying to make police a protected class in that same vein.
Was it Oklahoma? Because they lost that court case because freedom of speech. You can, you have the right to freedom of speech, and saying in the same sense as I can say, I don't like Paul Gazelka as the Senate Majority Leader. You can't sue me for that because he's a public figure and he's in the case. You can a person can say, I don't like the police. You can't mind control people. You can't just do that. But yeah, I have zero doubt that's what they're going to do. But I'd say let's if you all of a sudden said, well, then, all right, why stop at police? Why not basically say it's illegal to insult a politician? the same people would say, "How dare you say that?" Well, in this case of this woman would be the one saying, "Oh, you can't stop freedom of speech." No, it's a slippery slope. And no, the police were never meant to be placed above the Constitution of the United States. Freedom of speech is guaranteed. Now, this person, they are entitled to dislike the police. They're not entitled to run over people's groceries. They're not entitled to leave a jerkish note on the door. That's why I said, make her, buy them the groceries, take them to the door, and whatever verbal tongue lashing you get, you get. And like I said, I don't feel too bad for the elderly couple. They got $12,000 out of this off the GoFundMe page. And yeah, they're going to be just fine. It just is. This is not about politics. And the scary part is that this seems very much like the police department and the prosecutors were trying as hard as they could to find some way to charge this as a hate crime. And, no, this is not, I don't think this is a hate crime. This is just a person being a jerk. And so now, maybe were they trying under age discrimination? I don't know. Needless to say, they basically must have come back and said there's no way in the world we can get this to stick. So as opposed to waste everyone's time, they decided just to go with the citation. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. The Minnesota coronavirus update for today. We've reached a sad milestone. Wednesday's COVID-19 update from the Minnesota Department of Health includes 2,231 newly reported cases, 54 newly reported deaths. The state's COVID-19 death toll now is 10,018. The figures on Wednesday relate to a 24-hour reporting period ending at 4 a.m. on Tuesday. Minnesota's test positivity rate on the 7-day rolling average is down to 10.3%. Anything over 10, though, puts Minnesota in the high-risk threshold for community transmission. Through December 14th, the number of people with COVID-19 hospitalized in Minnesota was 1,655, up from 1,636 reported on December 13th. Of those hospitalized, 371 people are in intensive care, up from 358, and 1,274 are in non-ICU care, down from 1,284. It should be mentioned, we're really starting to get close to that maximum amount of people we can, that we was at 399 people were in the ICU last December. We're at the point now where we're only 28 ICU patients away from that. Yikes. And once again, the vast majority of those people, unvaccinated. There are currently only 17 staffed ICU beds available in the entire state, down from 21 on December 13th. 8 pediatric ICU beds available, which is down from 15 on December 13th. As of December 13th, the state reported that 3,704,899 people have received at least one dose of the COVID-19 vaccine, while 3,466,342 people have completed the vaccine series. The state has administered 1,440,325 third dose booster shots. According to the CDC, which cites data from September of 2021, the unvaccinated person was 5.8 times more likely to get COVID-19 and 14 times more likely to die from COVID-19 than someone who is fully vaccinated. The total case count so far is 971,667. Yikes. 10,000 dead. 10,000 dead. And you want to know the truth? I got a letter here I'm going to have to read in just a little bit, which is with that number, when you realize 10,000 people have died, the fact that the Republicans had sent a letter to the Mayo Clinic is unbelievable. Is unbelievable. I'll get to that here in just a second. A pandemic wave caused by the fast-spreading Delta variant of the coronavirus this fall quickened to the toll in Minnesota. It took 187 days from March to September to increase from 7,000 to 8,000 deaths. So it took basically, would that be 6 months? 6 months. March, April, May, June, July, August, September. Yeah. 6 months to increase from 7,000 to 8,000 deaths. Then it was 58 days to reach 9,000. 39 days to reach 10,000, according to state health data.
Doctor said the latest losses this fall have been frustrating because they have used up the state's intensive care capacity and could have been prevented with more COVID-19 vaccinations. They warned that care for traumatic emergency needs isn't assured right now, and that there have been preventable non-COVID deaths because of the lack of critical care space. There have been preventable non-COVID deaths because selfish jackasses who still insist that getting vaccinated means their libs win. They're taking up ICU beds and killing other Minnesotans. That's not me saying it. The doctors are now saying this, according to the Star Tribune story. There have been preventable non-COVID deaths because of the lack of critical care space. You have a heart attack, and basically now not only do you have to hope you can survive the heart attack, but you have to hope you can survive long enough in the intermediate care facility before an ICU bed opens up. Right now, there are people who are sitting there having to decide which of three patients gets an open ICU bed. Think about that. I got three patients who are all pretty serious right now. Maybe COVID, might be stroke, might be a car accident, might be a fall, might be a heart attack, might be cancer. And that person's got to sit there and say, who gets the ICU bed? That is just disturbing. Minnesota's losses in just the last 3 months include the state's first four teenagers to die of COVID, as well as farmers, teachers, correction officers, and mechanics. In the past month, the state lost former police chief, chemistry professor, and an aerospace engineer. We have lost more people than the entire population of Detroit Lakes or Little Falls. So just imagine at the beginning of a year that someone was going to tell you everyone in Detroit Lakes was going to get killed. And that actually happened. Every Republican in the state would be bellyaching about, why did you stop the carnage? Why did they do anything? And here we are with the same amount of people dying as the populations of Detroit Lake or Little Falls. And the Republicans still today are arguing, your vaccinations aren't that important. It's disturbing. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Let's take a break. Come on back. More on the coronavirus update when we do return. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. The continuing on with the Minnesota coronavirus update. The Gail Norse, this is a story out of the Star Tribune. This is a story out of Bring Me the News. Gail Norse avoided surgery on her left knee as long as she could, having endured a right knee replacement last year. But when the pain became intolerable in September, it was too late. The COVID-19 wave consumed hospital beds, forcing patients with urgent but not emergent conditions to wait. Norse made it into pre-op at Mercy Hospital in Coon Rapids on September 13th before her procedure was canceled the last minute. 3 months later, she's still waiting with cortisone shots, providing stopgap relief but not the mobility to play with her grandkids. I want my quality of life back, said Norse, 57, of Shoreview. It's not like I was Wonder Woman. Delayed surgeries are a downstream consequence of the pandemic and the pressure it has placed on the Minnesota hospitals, which on Monday reported that 1,636 COVID-19 cases in patient beds and only 21 open intensive care beds, which is now down to 17. Hospitals aren't required to delay non-urgent procedures as they were during the first COVID-19 wave in spring 2020 when Governor Walz issued emergency orders to preserve bed space, but the choice is being made for them. Patient demand over the past month has been the highest in the 21 months of the pandemic. I'm not sure the public is truly aware that all the systems in the state have been laying surgical procedures. When you add it all up, it's a lot of people, said Robert Quickle, vice president of surgical care at Allina.
COVID-19 patients made up 21% of the 7,794 hospitalizations in Minnesota on Monday, the highest share all year. But hospital leaders said they haven't been able to, they have been unable to keep as many non-COVID patients out of beds partly because delayed care during earlier pandemic waves exacerbated their health problems. The 6,158 non-COVID patients on Monday compared with 5,760 on December 13th of last year. Patients who refrained from seeking emergency care for strokes and urgent needs early in the pandemic got sicker, a report from Minnesota Community Management on Tuesday also showed. The share of hypertensive patients with adequate control of their blood pressure dropped 11 percentage points from 2018 to 2020. That means and basically screenings for cervical and breast cancers also got declined. That means cancer is getting diagnosed at a more advanced age, which hastens the need for surgeries. The rate of coronavirus infections has declined in Minnesota since December 6, suggesting the peak of COVID-19 wave, according to the Centers for Disease Control. But the state's new infection rate remains third highest in the country. And the Minnesota Department of Health on Tuesday reported 9,042 infections. It's horrible out there. I got to tell you the truth. I mean, I have my hip replacement surgery. I have a friend who works in the hospital. They said if that surgery would have happened a week later, it would have probably been postponed. It would have probably been postponed as long as they could. I'm lucky I got it done. It's the consequences of ignorance and selfishness. Now, there is an amazing arrogance to the Republican Party right now. I'm going to take a break here in a few minutes, but after I take the break, I'm going to come back. I'm going to read this letter the Republicans have sent the Mayo Clinic. Now, I want to make sure we understand a few things before we get there. Doctors have said that people have died of non-COVID reasons because COVID patients are taking up as many hospital beds as they can. The unvaccinated are taking them up. The hospital runs the hospital. They see what's going on. They understand medical science. And there used to be a time, Stein was kind of talking about this, but he was talking about this in the realm of political discussion. But the reality is there was a time when you could just say, well, you probably should, get a flu shot. And people didn't say, you're lying. You want Joe Biden to win. Jesus, really? Really? But that's where we are. But still, you would think that ignorant morons would understand that the hospital is going to go with medical science, that they're not going to bring in someone to do a psychic removal of your cancer. They're not going to go along with, hey, you know what? We tried all the traditional medications. Let's have it over to the veterinary clinic. See if they got any of that horse dewormer and we'll jam it up your backside for, I don't know, some reason. Or we'll go get some bleach and inject it into you. No, they don't just go on out there and start taking unproven cures. It's not an infomercial at 3 o'clock in the freaking morning on VH1. It's, they did, and they, the Mayo Clinic, which in July of 2021, this year, was named the best hospital in the country and one of the best hospitals, if not the best hospital, on the freaking planet. But yet, amazingly, it doesn't stop ignorant morons, I mean the Republican Party of Minnesota, from going out there and second-guessing medical professionals because they're trying to make political points. I've got a cornucopia of jackasses from the Republicans who sent a letter to the Mayo Clinic, which I will read when we come back from the break. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
So we cross.
crossed the 10,000 death threshold here in the state of Minnesota for coronavirus. 10,000 people, more than the people, a population of Detroit Lakes or Little Falls or many other cities in this state. We have had a health crisis in our ICUs, emergency rooms, and hospitals, which is unsurpassed in our day and age. We have had hospitals basically not have ICUs available. And we have had doctors now say there are people who are dying of non-COVID-related problems because unvaccinated people, many of them from Republican areas where they have been given the impression by the Republicans that the vaccines are evil and wrong, that they basically have clogged up every hospital in the state. We even have stories of Republicans screaming at nurses and doctors that are trying to save people's lives. Save people's lives. And yet they're basically protesting and screaming at them at the hospitals because you're not giving them the Heartstopper. All this is going on. I would say to myself at this point, the Mayo Clinic has a pretty good grasp of how to keep people healthy and safe. But not apparently for the freaking howler monkey exhibit that's the Minnesota Republican Party. Let me read. The Mayo Clinic has, this is their letter they sent. Maybe I'll do it there. I'll start with the people that signed this. The arrogant jackasses that signed this letter. Talk about trying to fight out of your weight class. You guys are minuscule compared to the people that are running that hospital. You guys are morons. I mean, you're driveling chimps. You're knuckle-dragging fools. And yet here you are because you think you've got something to say. You're going to go out and attack the Mayo Clinic for a vaccine mandate. Wow. That is an arrogance that you just don't see. And I know that you're probably saying to yourself, listen to the liberal McNeil. We got him so angry. Dude, you are morons. And you're trying to get your constituents killed. You're trying to get... Listen here, Christians. I'm calling y'all Christians. Listen here, Christians. You're basically responsible for some of the most anti-Christian behavior I have ever seen in my life. You ignorant fools. But hey, it doesn't stop you. Peggy Bennett, Kurt Dowd, Anne New Brindley, the deputy minority leader, Tony Albright, Grunhagen, Matt Bliss, John Heintzman, Greg Boe, Jeremy Hertos, John Burkle, Brian Johnson, Brian Daniels, Deb Keel, Greg Davids, Ron Kresha, Bob Detmer, Eric Lucero, Sandra Erickson, Joe McDonald, Mary Franson, Shane Meekland, Representative Steve Green. You remember him? We talked about that moron a few times. Representative Marion O'Neill, Matt Grossel, Patricia Mueller, Nathan Nelson, Tamathis, Paula Novotny, Paul Torkinson, John Petersburg, Dean Erdahl, Brian Farr, Niels Pearson, John Poston, Dwayne Quam, Donald Raleigh, Peggy Scott, and Chris Lozinski. What a bunch of morons. Talk about an arrogant bunch of fools. Let me read this letter for you. All right. The Mayo Clinic has a source of long-held pride and medical excellence in the state of Minnesota. Since the late 1800s, when the Mayo brothers came together in Rochester, this is them basically trying to, you know, let me soothe it over because we're gonna recognize we went to your Wikipedia page and got some information that says you're pretty good at medicine. So we're gonna act like we're smart and understand all this. Thanks, Wikipedia. It is with great consternation that we now write this letter out of concern of the Mayo Clinic's current employee COVID-19 vaccine mandate policy. We hear from a large number of highly concerned Mayo employees. Now, okay, a large number of Mayo, how many, 6, 7, 10? How many is the large number? And I'll come back to, that comment's going to come back to bite them in the butt here in a second. highly concerned Mayo employees a number of weeks ago concerning the shift in internal policy. We also heard from erroneous and daunting electronic religious exemption application process that employees felt set them up for failure and allowed for little personalization. So you're saying that some idiots thought that the religious exemption file was too complicated, and so now you're going after the Mayo Clinic? Or is it a case where their religious exception isn't for any other vaccines? It's just for this one because Donald Trump told me this one was bad. So I'm going to say Jesus said it was bad. And so Jesus is against COVID-19 vaccinations. By the way, funny story. No, he's not. Gospel of Matthew. You should read it, you morons. Anyway. Concern on communication from those employees only grew as medical and religious exemptions for many were denied. This top-down, heavy-handed, all-or-none employee policy does not fit the reputation or image we know that the Mayo Clinic to have. What are you talking about? We know cigarette smoking is bad, right? Right? The Mayo Clinic doesn't allow cigarette smoking throughout the hospital, right? But yet your argument is basically, well, Susie's got to get her Camel Wides and she's got to get her heaters and you make her go outside to a smoking area? How mean. The Mayo Clinic knows what's healthy and what's not. And what's healthy is getting vaccinated. And you do not want people that could possibly spread COVID going into rooms with people like have cancer. Or are recovering from a heart attack, or have an immune deficient disease. God, think about what you're saying, because basically what you're saying is, if people want to smoke, why are you saying there's no smoking sections? And I understand you'll say, well, that's a state policy, that's federal. It's the same thing. Personal choices, which are harmful to the mass public, should not be tolerated in a hospital. And yet here you are saying that people should be able to smoke anywhere. Not get vaccinated from a highly contagious disease that has killed 10,000 people in the state of Minnesota. You dribbling chimps. My God, you guys are a bunch of idiots, aren't you? Wow. It's the same thing as them sending this letter saying, we demand that people be able to smoke anywhere in the hospital. I mean, it is. Religious exemptions seem to be difficult to obtain and inconsistent. Well, either you're against all vaccinations or you're not. And if you're not, there isn't anything in the Bible that says, I just don't want to do this one. It isn't. There are examples of one spouse working at Mayo receiving a religious exemption and the other spouse did not. No one will share. Okay, so there was someone. You've even said that people were having trouble with the computer program. Is that the Mayo's problem or the people that filled out the forms problem? But hey, you're taking their word at it because you're going to just go get a disgruntled employee against the Mayo Clinic on health issues. Wow. Wow. It's highly disheartening, especially considering the Mayo is an institution that is founded upon religious principles and Franciscan sisters with the sincerely held religious beliefs. Yeah, about healing people, which wouldn't be good to send in COVID petri dishes for everyone to lick before they go into the hospital. You understand? Your amazing employees stepped up under unimaginable pandemic conditions over the past year and a half, exposing themselves and their families to then mostly unknown viruses and working long grueling hours to take care of sick patients. Many of the employees were sickened by the virus at this time. And they did this all willingly to the Mayo Clinic patients, and they did this all. Once again, this is we're on their side. We want them to be able to work with sick people, possibly people that get COVID and not a vaccine. It's not that we don't respect what they've done. It's just that we're trying to really hard to make sure that they don't have a right when it comes to working with people that could possibly be infected with COVID. Here you go. Here you go. Here is them trying to dance on both sides of the coin. We want to be clear that we are not opposed to vaccinations. Oh, really? Then what's your problem here? Oh, that's right. You're trying to create political hay. That's all you're doing. And you're doing it as a bunch of morons talking to the Mayo Clinic. Neither are most of your employees. Okay, so once again, I want to be clear about we're not opposed to vaccines, and neither are most of your employees. Whoa, 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 okay. You yourself are acknowledging most of the employees at the Mayo Clinic don't have a problem with the vaccine. But wait a second here. You go back earlier in the letter, we started hearing from a large number of highly concerned Mayo employees. Wait, what is it? Are most of the employees okay with vaccines, or there a large number that's not? It would seem to me you're pulling this letter out of your ass. That's what it seems like. However, while there are certainly have been benefits shown by these vaccines in protecting against severe illness and death, there's also legitimate concerns. No, they're not. Including the lack of available long-term safety data and documented severe side effects. Like, well, they're trying to make it seem like these are just dangerous. No, they're not. They don't make you sterile. They don't magnetize you. They don't they don't turn your blood green. They're not killing millions of people every day. And as a matter of fact, I want to go back to the numbers, because numbers don't lie, Republicans. I know you try to say they do because Trump got his ass kicked by Biden. But numbers don't lie. Oh, I mean, Brandon kicked your ass. Brandon kicked your ass. Anyway. Numbers don't lie. Numbers don't lie. 5.8 more times more likely to get COVID if you're unvaccinated. 14 times more likely to die if you're unvaccinated of COVID. 14 times. You want to just skip past that and say, somebody one time got a sniffle, and I think that that's enough to basically counterpoint your entire argument. All right. Can I make, by the way, I'll get to, I'm going to make a request to the Mayo Clinic here at the end of this, if I may. If I may. If I may. We're simply asking that both sides be acknowledged and considered for your vaccine policy. No, you don't. You don't do that. Their job is health care. Their job is not opinion validation. You don't go in there and say, we're just asking that you respect both sides, the smoking and the non-smoking side. We're just asking that you do that. You don't do that. You don't have a right to do that because none of you are medical professionals. You're a bunch of guys that Google your information or you're told what to think, and you couldn't find an original idea if you had both hands on your ass. I mean, head. Ugh. People deserve to make this decision based on the benefits and risks for themselves. So they did. You don't want to work at the Mayo? Fine. You don't have to work at the Mayo Clinic. And scene. You act as if you know, there's some sort of... There's nothing in the Constitution says you have to have a job at the Mayo Clinic. There is nothing in the Constitution that has to say that. They're a private business. And mind you, once again, this is a private business. And look at the Republicans all of a sudden, who are all big corporate, big private business people, all of a sudden act as if private business is out of control. You need to be reined in. Wow. This is especially relevant considering many of your employees do not need this vaccine because they've naturally acquired immunity granted through recovered illness. My God, how stupid can you be? I've even read myself that the people with so-called natural immunity only have it for a limited time, and it's four times less potent than the vaccine. It is far safer to get vaccinated. Yet you guys don't seem to want to acknowledge the science of it all. Don't act as if you've got knowledge here. You're basically playing with not house money, no money, and acting like you can bluff your way to the jackpot. We understand the pressures that the Mayo Clinic and other healthcare systems have been under. Do you? Because it would seem to me the last thing the Mayo Clinic needs right now is a bunch of ignorant troglodytes basically writing a letter to them talking about how you need to let that person go because they're a Republican. And in our mind, that should be a good enough for you. Wow. However, considering the recent federal court orders, the Biden administration suspension of enforcement. Okay, the Biden administration That is irrelevant. The Mayo Clinic made this decision on their own. You're trying to bring Biden in and act as if Biden isn't the force here. As a matter of fact, that's the entire argument of your whole letter here. Your letter is you're angry at the Mayo Clinic, a private business, installing this standard. You don't like that. And now you're trying to make it seem like, well, the Biden administration has been stopped in the court, so you don't have to do it anymore. No, that had nothing to do with the Biden administration. It had everything to do with them making their own choice. How can we as Minnesota legislators rationalize investing state money in healthcare workers' shortage programs and grants if these hospitals then turn around and fire those employees, thereby exacerbating the problem? Because you don't want jackass employees blowing cigarette smoke into sick people's faces or giving them COVID. So basically, the threat is there. We're going to try to stop all funding for the Mayo Clinic unless you do what we say. And that's kind of the threat, isn't it? Sure seems like the threat to me. Unless you do what we say as a private business, unless you do what the Republicans on this letter say that you need to do, we're going to try to punish you in St. Paul. Wow. In light of the recent federal changes, Mayo has now the opportunity to take the lead in this issue by reverting back to its original reasonable vaccine policy, which allows for medical, religious, and consciousness opt-outs. No, you see, as medical opt-outs are good, religious outs are also legitimate. It's the consciousness. It's there it is. They're trying to put this, I just don't want to, is a good enough reason. And it's not. They're a hospital. They know how to keep people safe. Try to, at least. And it doesn't involve you basically having a patchwork quilt of maybe I will, maybe I won't. This is basically them trying their... The arrogance of these jackasses is amazing. We would be proud to have the Mayo Clinic take leadership in giving equivalent consideration both natural immunity and artificial immunity. They're the hospital. They're the freaking Mayo Clinic. Trust me, if they felt natural immunity, if they had the science that showed natural immunity was on par with actual vaccination, they would go with it. But they've got the numbers that show it doesn't. But you're just trying to take your political opinions and present them as medical fact. God, that's arrogant. And you're doing it to the Mayo Clinic. This isn't some regional rural hospital. You're going to the most respected hospital in the freaking world and thinking that you have the ability to tell them what to do. Wow. Now, first of all, let me just say this for the best. To all these Republicans that signed this letter, screw you. Seriously, from everyone in Minnesota, screw you, you jerks. But can I make a suggestion to the Mayo Clinic? May I make a quick little suggestion? You know who signed this letter. If they or any of their family comes to your door, don't treat them. Tell them go find another hospital. Now, you're better than that, and so you probably will help them. And they'll never acknowledge the hypocrisy of their own actions. They never will. But God, I would just love to see the face of one of these Republicans saying, hey, remember when you said that because basically we don't know how medicine works and that you need to have you do what the Republican Party says or you're going to punish us? Well, go find another hospital. I would love that. But you're a better person than that. This is truly stupendous in the arrogance of these jackasses. And once again, it should be noted that these people are indeed challenging vaccines, indeed telling people they shouldn't have to get vaccinated. They're trying to make it seem like we're not against vaccines. Yeah, you are. If the entire point of this letter is to basically tell people, guess what? We don't think you have to be vaccinated and work in a hospital. Wow. That is a level of delusion you just don't see every day. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Wow. Wow. The arrogance of those dimwits. Unbelievable. Let's take a break. When we come back, Patrick's got some weather information for us. More as well coming up. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. Yeah. La, la, la. 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Patrick, you have an update here on the weather that we're going to have moving through the metro area, right?
Yes, it's about a little hour ago. A tornado watch has been issued that includes all of the Twin Cities metro and western Wisconsin. That's until 11 o'clock tonight.
Great. Great. Thank you, Patrick. I do appreciate that. I'm going to go back to my, let's not say this is about COVID. This letter, you could apply the same exact mentality to smoking and non-smoking. That the Republicans get together and say, because let's face it, you can breathe cigarette smoke on someone not going to necessarily get sick. Imagine if the Republicans came out and they said, you know, you've got a no smoking policy throughout your entire building. We've talked to a large amount of your employees who want to be able to smoke anywhere in the hospital. And we think it's they've got religious exemptions that say they have to smoke their cigarettes. And you're making it difficult for them because you're saying, where in the Bible does it say that? And how dare you? We just want to be able to consciously do this. So we're going to demand, and just because someone, you know, you want to focus on non-smoking being healthy, there are plenty of ancient and dated reports from the tobacco industry that says cigarette smoking is just swell. I don't know why you're just discounting all those. But here you are saying people can't smoke. So here's the deal. You either need to start thinking for yourself, and not Joe Biden, who's anti-cigarette smoke. You need to think for yourself, or else maybe we need to stop giving you money from the state. Ha, ha, ha. That's a threat. Ha, 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 ha. Hey, I'm not saying that we're for cigarette smoking. We're just saying you shouldn't be so critical of the people that do. It's basically the same damn thing. And would anyone sit there and tolerate them saying the Mayo Clinic? Would anyone really question the Mayo Clinic saying, "No, you can't smoke here in the hospital. It's cigarette smoke. It's bad for everyone. No, don't do it." But yet you say the same thing about, you got to get vaccinated because that's the real best way for you to stay healthy from COVID. How dare you, dude? Shut up. I mean, you guys are talking so out your backside. It's not even funny. The arrogance, the unbelievable arrogance of those Republicans to sit there and talk about how their Reddit subgroup, healthcare notes somehow override the Mayo Clinic. That is spectacular arrogance. And you guys probably don't even see it. You guys don't even see how out of line you are for even sending that letter, to think that that's somehow a righteous thing to do. It's maybe, can I make this argument for every Republican that signed that letter? Maybe you should get off your asses and go to your districts and tell people to get vaccinated so that they're not dying at such high rates and taking up every hospital bed in the freaking state. Maybe you should do that. But nah, hey. You got to go pretend you're smart. Well, swing and a miss. We're back tomorrow. Till then, see ya.